This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your hosts, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Today we have one of our very good friends, Jason Medley, on the show today. Hey, Jason, how are you?
Oh, I just got done telling you, I'm jealous. You guys are down in Zihuatanejo and I'm here in Tampa.
Well, this is definitely your spot and you've introduced us to this place. It's amazing. We cannot stop cool coming spot. Here. So I'm just going to give a brief bio on Jason. So Jason Medley is the founder of the Collective Genius Mastermind. His role is not only to steer the culture of the organization, but he is also the chief connector. Jason has over 20-year career in real estate and finance. He has partnered on over 2,600 plus multifamily doors with CG members and funded north of 1,500 loans. According to Jason, Collective Genius is a community of investors that is really focused around placing high caliber real estate investors on the fast track to becoming visionary leaders that scale their business, build wealth, and give back. And I cannot tell you how honored I am to have you on the show today, or we are honored to have you on the show, Jason. Like, you have been a tremendous help in our business starting off, and we're here now, and we wanted to share with our listeners what CG is all about. So you can just give us a brief bio on yourself and kind of how you got started.
Sure. First of all, thank you guys for having me on today. I appreciate it. Honored to be here. So been in real estate for about 21 years, which seems kind of crazy right now. I'm actually experiencing my second cycle as we speak, right?
You've been there before.
Yeah. I've seen this once before. I think I get to participate differently this time, though. The first time was a bit rough, but I'm ready this time. So, my career got started. I was in on the mortgage side of the business. Again, I started, I think it was back in, I was 29 years old. So about 21 years ago. And, really thought I was the business, had it all figured out, young guy rocking it in the mortgage business. And then 2008 hit, and I lived in Florida, and Florida was like the one of the, four or five sand states that got the brunt of it. And so I looked up and found myself trying to figure out what was next. And through the course of a couple of different things, started a boutique funding company called iVisionary Financial. Uh-huh. And, we were lending what was called transactional funding at the time. And everything was being short sold at that time. And so eventually, lenders started putting deed restrictions on their closing protection letters. And so that business began to kind of slowly suffocate, if you will. And that's when I started CG. And it was really kind of a side project. I'd love to say I had this big grandmaster plan of ending up where I am today, but that would not be true. So the reality of it is, though, I started this is a side project. And then once I started it, really began to see how much, one, I enjoyed it, and two, how much it could truly impact people's lives in a big way. For the right person at the right time and the right mastermind, it's a marked moment in time in many facets. And so I started CG about 12 years ago, and you did a great job of describing it, but I mean, ultimately, I think it's just a great organization for high caliber real estate investors, much like yourselves, who can come in and really inside of a community that's genuinely centered around go giving and helping each other, share your systems, your strategies, your processes, or even if you're, moving through challenging times like we are now, just the ability to walk things out together, right? How to talk with other people who are out front adapting to change. And so that's the business side of it. And then, the other component is we do our best at times to, have everyone kind of question how are they being successful as men, as women, as mothers, as fathers, as leaders, as spouses, and so forth along the way. And so it's been a fabulous ride. I think you guys probably came on board when we had 80 or 90 members, and now we have two different platforms with about to cross 300 300 memberships. So it's been a good ride. It's been a pure joy for me. And here we are.
Yeah. Well, you describe it well, but just the feeling of being in your mastermind is amazing. Sean and I have been in several masterminds. Oftentimes we talk on the show, like the power of, you know, being in a mastermind and networking with like-minded individuals. And there's nothing like your mastermind. It's definitely top notch. And we call a lot of the members our family, right? Like, yeah, we've come here to see one to know, you know, traveling with several of them. And like you said, like the, you know, just being able to kind of bounce ideas off one another. And I've had oftentimes, you know, members come to my office and, you know, it's an on-site, you know, in our office tour. So it's just been amazing.
Yeah. So, we're truly appreciative of all that you built, because it's we're here today in Z Watanabe mainly because of you. So, and it's a balance of taking time off, but also building our business to a level, or they have the ability to have some of those freedoms. So, and that's a lot of it from what you built, but also the culture and the people you put in that organization. So can you speak a little bit to like the power of a master? We kind of just did, but just from your perspective, the power of a mastermind. And I got some follow-up questions for you too.
Sure. So it really, like, if I were to try to sum up the power of a mastermind, I think it's the most effective vehicle to compress the amount of time it takes you to progress. I mean, if you have a vision where you're here and you want to be here, and if you're to take that walk or that journey alone, say it takes you 5 years. Whereas when you get in a mastermind, it might take you two or a year and a half to accomplish the same goals. And because, you know, if you look at your business and you say, I've got some holes in my business in this particular space, you know, or let's say someone says, you know, hey, I've got 800 properties under management and it's running at a loss, and I'm just not effectively running the property management side of my business. I'm a turnkey provider, and I'm rocking it on the front side as far as disposing of the properties, but then we're just marginally, you know, and I'm using this example specifically because you guys help some people do that, but you all are process driven and masterful in that space. And so when someone comes to me and says, hey, I got 800 properties, right? I've got the numbers, but I'm just not running the business efficiently. It's not profitable. I need some help. And I say, oh, don't worry about it. I'm going to introduce you to Sean and Joni, because they have a portfolio twice the size of yours. They've been where you're going. They've hit the bumps. They got the black eyes and the bruises, and they've figured it all out and they have systematized it. And more than likely, since you're part of CG or whatever, they'll probably let you come to their office and spend a day or two hanging out with them and let you see their operation and give you their systems and processes. And so it's, you know, it just expedites you versus you trying to figure that out yourself. Or, you know, I think one time somebody was looking to get into build to rent construction, and they said, I really don't want to start from scratch, you know, designing a plan and blueprints, et cetera. And I think when you all were building your duplexes, you know, I think you gave somebody those plans, right? Like, hey, here's what we're building. Here's our cost per square foot. Here's the materials we're using. I mean, like, think about what that does for you from a time compression standpoint, where someone who does what you do and is doing it better just says, here, let me put this on a silver platter for you. And it's not just the information either. I like a good mastermind, like there's, you know, in CG, there are people doing literally billions of dollars on an annual basis in deals with each other. And so it's got people buying houses, selling houses, lending money, borrowing money. You know, I think we've co-invested together on an apartment complex with Randy Lawrence. Right. So, hey, he found the deal. He needed to raise some equity on a syndication. We both put some money in. Like, so it just creates this amazing kind of soup of information and deal flow. And in addition to that, you know, we do some cool stuff too on a personal level and a charitable level, where it's like, hey, we're all hard chargers. We get up every day and got these goals and, you know, take over the world and rah, rah, rah. But at the end of the day, we need to kind of sometimes get our perspective reset on what is important, and in life, what really matters. And so, you know, you guys, we take trips through Gender's Genius, whether it's, you know, serving at an orphanage in Guatemala or building a house in Mexico. A good mastermind, you said it best. It turns into family if you're willing to make the investment to show up and share and give from an open place of your heart. It can really turn into family to the point where, like, when I can ask somebody, like, hey, you know, they say how your closest friends will fit on one hand.
Right.
Well, one of those to be a CG member. And if that's the case, we're doing something special.
Yeah, I could say maybe 5 to 10 of those are my family. No, really, and it really is a community. Like, I remember when Sean went to the mastermind before I did, and he came back and he was like, oh my God, I can't even explain to you how this mastermind is and what it has done for me personally. Yeah. And so when I went, I was just floored, like, just the amount of giving and sharing, you know, and the friendship.
So tell, because I know there's other masterminds and it's been a hot thing over the last like 5 years, but how have you successfully maintained that culture of the egos, the being willing to share,
the giving,
how have you been able to structure that and create the atmosphere that you've done, or the culture? I think that's important. Yeah.
I think there's a couple ways to answer that, or a couple factors that go into answering that. Number one, we screen members. Like, if someone applies and they say, hey, I want to come out, check out the Collective Genius, they, you know, maybe they're doing 500 flips a year or 500 turnkey deals, or they've got, you know, 4,000 doors in multifamily space. So they're a rock star from a business perspective, but, you know, they don't feel that way or appear to feel that way from just as a human being. We're here to create a community, not just a collective, a membership. And so we have a saying here, if you will, at CG, that our culture comes before, like Leon, who you guys probably know, love, and adore. Yeah, I mean, the guy's a rock star. He screens everybody, and it's pretty simple. Culture comes before commission check, Mr. Barnes, you know, period. So culture comes before commission. That's like the first gate, if you will. And then if you're approved, when you come to our meeting, I don't care if you've been in CG for 6 years or 6 minutes, you're not coming to a Collective Genius meeting where we don't start within the first 30 minutes breaking down our culture and what we expect of members and what those members can expect from us. It never gets bypassed. It never gets skipped. It never gets shortened. It's always there at every meeting. And quite honestly, I think people are refreshed by that, you know, because it's like, hey, you can come in here and you can, you know, most of our hard charging entrepreneurs, you can come in here, you know, lift your head up high. You don't got to keep your horns down, relax yourself. You know, people that, the biggest investment you'll make over the next few days are in the people in this room. It won't be in buying a house or lending money or, you know, buying an apartment complex. The biggest investment you need to make if you really want to have a great time the next couple of days and take it to the next level is in each other, the people in this room. And so I think there's something about that when we say that some people just kind of, you know, they take that deep breath. Take that deep breath and choose to get engaged. And so I think those are probably two of the core ways that we have done that. And then we've launched something too now that I think helps our members even with their culture, in that, you know, now we, outside of the physical mastermind we run, we have 12 monthly calls where, you know, we have a monthly call for their COOs, their second in commands. We have monthly calls for their construction managers. We have monthly calls for their acquisitions, for their dispositions.
Wow.
So in addition to doing those calls, we think our culture kind of bleeds through those. So, you know, we're coming at it from all angles, I think from a culture perspective, but yeah, those are the ways I would answer that.
Yeah. And it's funny you say that, cause so since we've been here in Mexico, I've met with already, I've had calls or Zoom calls with Merv and,
Mark
and, Dave,
Lindell.
Yeah. And so we've met all these people from CG that we've met with, and we're all competitors, really, if you think about it. We're in different markets, but very similar businesses. And so, we're meeting to talk and exchange ideas, and, you know, because obviously disposition sales have slowed down, you know, as interest rates have. And so we're constantly like, what can we do? What's working right now? What's not? And that, I think that's really the power of
absolutely
the mastermind. Yeah. It's neat that we're here, we're doing front. We're still meeting with all these guys.
You're in a spot you got introduced to by CG in a foreign country, talking to and having Zoom calls with other CG folks, right? So that's the magnitude of how, you know, like I said, for the right person, the right mastermind at the right time can be a pivotal
Well, you have this amazing ability to connect people. I don't know, like, nobody I've ever met before. Like, is that come natural to you, or is that just, is that a passion of yours? Like, what?
I think that's your title, right? Chief Connector.
Yeah. It does come natural. And this business, this community helped me see that, because when I started it, I would just notice when I was talking to people, my brain would just naturally, when they were talking about their challenges or struggles or goals they were trying to accomplish, my brain would just naturally start processing, you know, who can I introduce them to fix that, or to expedite it, or to make it easier. And so, you know, that is, and you know, and I get a kick out of it, you know, when someone comes and says, hey man, like, you don't know, like, I literally just got off a call, what we call all hands on deck, which we launched during COVID.
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, we launched those during COVID, right? Where everyone comes together on a weekly basis to say, the market's changing. What are you doing? How are you doing it? And we brought them back to life with the market shift. And on that call, I mean, the stuff that people were sharing, you know, like, everybody up for the last how many years, you could just, you know, like, hold the steak out and the wolves would eat it. Like, you get a house, you're going to sell it. And now a lot of the emphasis has been shifted from acquisitions to dispositions, and everybody's on there sharing their strategy, exactly how they've shifted, what they're doing, who they're focusing on, you know, and it's just cool to watch, you know, that compression of, I can do that. Now that I know what to do, I can do it. And if I hit a bump along the way, I can just call that member and say, hey, can we jump on a Zoom for 30 minutes and you help me with that, you know? So, it is something. I don't know that I realized it until I started CG, that it was a natural thing for me. And then Leon, I think Leon's actually got me trumped. I think, you know, I had to figure out something to name myself on the website, I guess, but I think he actually, when you're the gatekeeper, of, you know, people screening the people that come to the organization, you I think take that title, because now that I'm not that person, he's the one who knows better what everyone does, what they're good at, what they need, you know, like, so I think he's really the overlord.
The big thing is you got a great team, and that I think that's not by accident either, but you built a really great team that supports you and help run the organization. But Leon's phenomenal.
Absolutely.
We had the opportunity through the Collective Genius, which I want you to talk about because I think it's important. I'm sorry, the Generous Genius, which I think is important, but we had the opportunity to go with Leon and his son, and then we took our kids and we went down to Mexico with Scott and his organization, his organization. We built a couple homes for families. And I tell you, that was one of the most rewarding trips for us as a family. And I think, you know, our kids are very privileged and have no clue sometimes what what the life they were born into. And so I think that's just been, and it was great. And we had such good, I really got to know Leon to a whole nother level, mm-hmm. and a lot of other members from the Collective Genius. And so anyways, but I would love for you to speak to the Generous Genius and what, because not only you're a business about entrepreneurship and investors and making money and doing all this, but a big portion of what you do is also give back through the Generous Genius. So if you could speak to that, what you've been able to do.
So like I said, as hard charging entrepreneurs, we can sometimes get single-minded on our goals and our objectives and really lose prioritization in our lives in regards to what's important. And Generous Genius is something that we started, I don't know, probably about 8 years ago. And it was part of the fabric of our organization. And we believe that with blessing comes responsibility. Mm-hmm. And so effectively what we do is we take some of our members who are, you know, they either run or are at a high level in a particular charity that they're passionate about. And so what we do is we raise money from our membership. Last quarter in June alone, we raised over $250,000.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I think when you guys first started, we were raising about 110 a year.
Yeah.
And now, we should hit 800, probably 800 grand this year. And so what we do is we raise that money. That's a whole nother story how we do that. It's a lot of fun how we do it. But we deploy that capital to those charities that our members either run or are, you know, kind of at a higher position in. And so, you know, an example might be, you know, Scott Myers with YMAM. So we go down to Ensenada and build houses. And so those houses are, you know, I think they're about 30 grand a piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, we'll say, you know, hey, let's donate $100,000 to YMAM. So not only do we raise the capital, give it to a charity of choice of a member who's in our group, but then a lot of our members will go down, you know, for example, to Mexico and actually physically build the house, take their kids, lead by example. And again, kind of get grounded because we are, like you said, we live in an amazing, amazing country that we take for granted, and our kids don't know anything to the contrary. And so it's just a great experience to get to know people at a different level. It's a great experience to lead by example with your kids. It's a great way to let your kids get kind of checked a little bit, if you will, and be appreciative of what they have. And and I think it's kind of cool to go down to a part, you know, multiple parts of the world. We've been to Haiti, we've been to Guatemala, been to Mexico, et cetera. And although there's such a disparity in our standards of living, those people are just as happy as we are. And so, it's sometimes it's a good gut check, because I am a person who sometimes gets caught up in a little bit of fear. When I was younger, I was fearful because I didn't have any money. And now that I got some, I'm fearful I'm going to lose it on any given day, you know. And sometimes to go to an environment where, you know, people effectively have hardly anything. Mm-hmm. But they're happy and their kids are happy. And you kind of just get that, like, gosh, you know.
Totally agree. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, awesome part of the organization. I think over the years we've donated several million dollars and really got to have some, our members have got to have some awesome experiences along the way as well.
Yeah, that's great. So I know that, so you've already kind of been through this in 2008, you know, and now a big part of what you do is prep the members as well for what's to come, right? And so mm-hmm. what are you doing now to kind of prep your members?
Sure. So, I mean, our prep, to me, you know, this is probably not going to excite a lot of people, but our best advice has already been given. And that is, you know, that is to operate your business with in a fashion that this is going to happen. Life is going to life is going to happen. Cycles are going to turn.
Absolutely.
Challenges are going to show up. And so if you know that, you have to operate your business in a way that prepares you for them so you can thrive during these types of times versus being, you know, kind of brought to your knees. And so our best advice has been given. And that is, you know, I kind of operate under the philosophy that if you worry a little bit during good times, you won't have to worry a lot during bad times. And
yeah.
So at every CG, we show a picture, and I'm sure people are probably recently had been sick of it, but now it's taken on a whole new meaning. But we show a picture of a house on Mexico Beach in the panhandle of Florida, and it stands alone amongst utter devastation. Right? That house stands by itself on that beach and everything else around it is demolished. And we tell people at every meeting, even when things are good and interest rates are low, that the reason that house stood through the storm is because it was built correctly prior to the storm. Right? And so, you know, we try to push profit first, you know, which is a discipline in which you are taking profit from your business and building reserves for your business, building reserves for your family, having an allocated amount of cash, having solid investments. And so we push on that like all the time. It's not something you should, it should be proactive, not reactive to a shift in the marketplace. And so that's the biggest thing that we do is we're constantly telling our members to, you know, keep your feet on the ground. If you're going to build the skyscraper higher, make sure you dig the foundation a foot deeper. And so that's our biggest thing. But, you know, the reality of it is the time to prepare has by and large come and gone. And I think now we're getting into reaction mode instead of being, you know, the time for proactivity is kind of come and gone, and now we're getting into reaction mode. And so from a practical, tactical standpoint, you know, I think when these times, when times change, you got to go back from automation and CRMs and all, you got to get back out and kind of start creating relationships. And so,
yeah,
I mean, we just came off a call and all hands on deck, and it's like, okay, you know, you need to get in and really start analyzing what are the top zip codes you're doing business in? Who are the top agents in those zip codes? Start getting belly to belly. Create an all hands on deck with the players in your market, right? Once a week or once a month or whatever the right cadence is for you, create an all hands on deck with the players in your market. Lock up with people. We talked in addition to that about how, you know, you used to email out a house if you're a wholesaler. Or just put it on the MLS if you're a rehabber, and the market would do the heavy lifting for you. And because all the emphasis was on getting a deal. Now that we're shifting to dispositions, you've got to more take an outbound approach to calling. If you're a wholesaler, you don't send out an email blast, right? You are using data analytics to determine who are the biggest buyers in my market. I've got to reach out to these people. I've got to create relationships with them. You know, and then in addition, I mean, there's so many things that have to be changed and shifted right now, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, if you're in the turnkey space, you know, it's from an ag, you know, you now maybe you were doing business with one or two aggregators, and now you may have to go get three or four, you know. And so, like, there's just a lot of, and, you know, you got to start paying attention, more attention to expenses, and run kind of an expense audit inside of your business and figure out where, you know, when everybody's making a ton of scratch, you just lose sight of, you know, kind of, it doesn't matter, you know, or it doesn't have relevancy. And so doing employee audits, you know, really taking a look at, you know, if we take a hit and our revenue goes from here to here, who's got to go? If it goes from here to here, who's got to go, right?
Right.
And the reality of it is it could be the total opposite story. If you've saved, if you've got a solid portfolio that's FHA backed and you know you're getting money from the government and, you know, you've got a massive cash reserve, you may be looking at, I'm hiring people. I'm going to just to dominate this marketplace. I've been waiting for this, right? And for some people, it's a balance of the two, right? I got to be prudent on the expense side, the people side, but I've got the cash to where when the market is right, I can begin to really dominate and then deploy some of that cash for times like these. And so there's just, you know, there's a lot of change that is taking place right now. But
yep.
the biggest thing is the shift. You know, we went so quickly from no inventory to just massive inventories and in major metros, big price drops. And so the biggest singular shift is a relentless focus over to dispositions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been acquisitions, right? No inventory. Yeah. I got to get product. And now it's just the total opposite.
Opposite. Yep.
It happened so fast. The Fed, that's like, you remember when you were younger and you're like when you're in high school and they would use the term, the party got busted.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Like the cops showed up, right? And they're like, okay, you guys gotta get out of here, right? It's like the Fed showed up and they busted the party, right? They changed policy and it was done.
Overnight. Yeah.
Yeah, so, it was done.
Yeah. So tell us what's next for Jason Medley and the Collective Genius. So we always ask people, like, what's your next? What's in your next 5 years? Where are you headed?
Yeah, I would really like to. We have a fantastic team, like you mentioned, but for me, I really want to move into the owner's box in the business and get back really to my roots of spending time with our members and really being more integrated with them. As the business has grown, you know, I've moved to a spot where I'm thinking about, you know, funnels and conversion and metrics and all that stuff. And to be honest, I would really like to build out our team to put some key level executives in place to that can bring value to our members, but also put me back into a spot where I'm not pushing the rock or driving the way I have been. And that in turn freeing me up to give more time to our members, create more connections. And I think too, just to have a little bit more freedom in regards to, you know, I don't work a tremendous amount now. I'm going to do my 40 hours a week and consistently, but, you know, I've worked hard. I've built a very solid financial structure. And so start injecting some of the components in my life where I take a month and take the fam to Zihuatanejo and, you know, or nice. Taking off every other Friday. Yeah. Just enjoying life. There's no point in doing all of this if you're not going to do all of that, you know? But it's hard, not from the perspective of, you know, you get to a spot where you have the money and the success to do it, but I think the harsh reality of it is, in order to get to that spot, the very habits you have to create to build a life that you can enjoy are the very same habits that must be broken mm-hmm. in order for you to enjoy it, right?
Love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so true.
Because it takes years of push and years of grind and years of strategy and years of, and then by the time you get to that spot where you can come up and catch your breath, it's so habitually ingrained in who you are.
So true.
That you have to like reprogram, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know if you'll ever get there, but I don't know if I ever will. But yeah, it's all another conversation.
It is hard. It really is hard. Yeah.
So. I don't know if I ever want to get all the way there, right? Like, I like to have a little bit of productive paranoia. I think it's a little productive paranoia is healthy, you know, to not take your finger too far off the pulse. But I think there's a middle ground there that's,
yeah.
You know.
It's something I've noticed. We've been around several people that have done that, exited, you know, at a fairly, you know, younger age and have done really well. But they, I always like, I think your kids need to see you working a little bit. They need to see you grinding a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. So as long as they're under my roof, I think I want them to see, you know, see me overcome adversity, see me, you know, put in the work. And I think I got that from my parents, since which made us who we are. Oh,
yeah. Agreed. Yeah.
I definitely got that from my mama.
Yeah.
My mom is 71 and still a machine. I was literally on the phone with her before I talked to you guys, and she's like, baby, my energy level is just not like what it used to be. You know, she's like, I used to be able to work everybody under the table, right? And I can tell you, she still can, right? Yeah, she still can. Like, we go over to our Airbnb and once in a blue moon, give it like a deep cleaning, and she will just work you into the ground. And I watched her do that growing up, you know, like,
yeah.
So I would agree completely. Like, it's healthy to see your kids. It's healthy for your kids to see you with a great work ethic.
Yep. So you started off just as young as we were in our, we were in our 90s, you're in your 20s. If you were starting off again, we have a lot of young listeners. What advice would you give a new entrepreneur coming out? You're just starting out again.
Yeah, if I was going to give an entrepreneur advice, I would think that probably one of the single biggest things is to have a clearly defined vision, right? Just making a bunch of money is not enough. Having a target, having it visually being able to see it in your mind's eye, I think is one of the core keys of success. And when you can see it clearly, you can explain it clearly to other people. And if you can explain it clearly to other people, they'll get on the bus with you, right?
Yeah.
Because you're not going to do it alone. You won't do it alone and be happy, more than likely.
Mm-hmm.
And so a very clear vision is, now I will say this, and this is maybe a great way to close. People speak of vision as a gift. And I think at the ripe age of 50, I've come to understand, especially with working with a lot of entrepreneurs, vision is a gift. Unbridled vision. Unbridled vision is a curse. Not being able to harness your focus, only being ideas and not being able to tame your vision and point it in a laser focused direction, that is as much a curse as the opposite, which is, you know, having a relentless focus on a vision. And so and sometimes that's not sexy, sometimes it's not fun, you know, sometimes you're like, I've been killing myself for 3 years, I'm done with this, I'm gonna light this thing on fire, I've had enough, and you want to go start something else, and yet you're that close to tipping the scales, you know, because if you don't have a clear vision, it's hard to push through it's hard to have enough grit to last long enough to create something that turns into something special.
So I think that's a great way to close, having a clear vision. Jason, tell us how we can get our listeners can get a hold of Collective Genius.
Yeah, if you want to learn more about what we do, you can go to learnmoreaboutcg.com. That's learnmoreaboutcg.com. There's a bunch of, like, if you really want to understand at a gritty, detailed level how Mastermind works, it's that page is really just full of stories of how our members have worked together, how they've excelled, and you know, how we've helped them with that. It's very detailed, very granular. It's pictures and screenshots and, you know, et cetera. And it's just a great way. I encourage you, no matter where it is, whether it's with us or at a local level or in any shape or fashion, get involved in a community, a mastermind of like-minded people. It's a gift. So yeah, wherever it's at, I encourage you to get involved in one.
Yeah, agreed. Well, thank you, Jason, for sharing with us today. And I'm excited for our listeners to hear more about the Collective Genius. And
yeah, no, thank you again. Thank you for all that you do. If there's anything we can ever do for you, please let us know. But again, appreciate all that you built with the Collective Genius and all that we've gotten out of it. So this was a great, it was an awesome, I think you shared and gave so much value today. So appreciate you and
appreciate we'll see everybody else next week. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Talking.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.